I'm thankful this morning for that beautiful song. I had that on my heart so heavy this morning, and then to hear it requested is a real blessing to me. I know the Spirit of the Lord still works among people. I know that God still hears and answers prayer. I know that He is so good to us to help us. So, my name is James Bell. Most of you probably know me, but there's a generation of young people I'm not sure that know who I am. So I'm glad that we can be together this morning. I'd like to look in the book of Matthew. I don't see anything to write with. In the pulpit? Okay, thank you. I believe I spelt that right. Resilient, is that right?
Yes.
Is that right? Well, I'd like to talk to us today about being resilient. I want you young people, all of you that are here today, to know that the church loves you. You can come with all of your insecurities. You can come with everything that you have that is built up inside of you, the questions you have, your physical features, everything that you might be afraid of. You can come here. You can come here, and the people of God will love you. They'll love you. When I first came here to these grounds, there was an older sister came up to me and she said, "Where are you from?" And I'll never forget the look on her face. And it scared me. I said, I'm from Oklahoma. I don't know. I didn't come out from under a log. I mean, I'm just here. And, you know, I know the devil likes to scare us off. He would like to, from the very get-go, he'd like for you, maybe this is your first time coming. Maybe you're wondering, am I accepted? Do these people really want me around? And sadly, I've seen some folks that get discouraged and walk away and never come back. So then people go, they don't like me. They don't like me. But, you know, through the years, I've seen the love of the people of God. When my daughter was killed, you all responded in such a way that I'll never forget it. You know, I feel at home. I feel like this is my family. This is somebody. Here's a people that loves me. You got me on your hands. I'm not going to leave. I'm gonna stay here because I feel this is the people that God wants me to be with. I'm going to talk just a little bit to us this morning about being resilient. And resilience is the ability to move through and to grow from difficult times. It's a skill you develop over time from the lessons and experiences you absorb as you grow up and face challenges. The capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. It's toughness. the ability of a substance or object to spring back into shape, being elastic or elasticity. Resilience is the process and outcome of successfully adapting to difficult or challenging life experiences, especially through mental, emotional, and behavioral flexibility and adjustment to external and internal demands. None of us have come here today without some kind of difficulties in life. You know, I've been a mama's boy, and I'm so proud, if you want to say that, to have been a mama's boy. My mama loved me. She loved me. I felt that love all through the years, till she died. One thing she taught me, and she may never have really realized it, she had rheumatic fever 3 times, and one of the times she was carrying me. And I guess that might, if you see something wrong with me, which there's a lot of faults, well, that might be a reason my mama was going through a high fever, and it might have burnt me just a little bit. But I watched my mom's resiliency. I watched Sister Emery come over to our house. And she got on the bed, and I was, I don't know how old I was, maybe 4 or 5 years old. I don't remember. I wasn't in school. And I remember sitting outside the room. We lived on 48th Street in Tulsa. And Sister Emery was on the other side of the bed. And I remember hearing her say so many, I can hear her words today so clear. "Now, Ruby, you throw your arms around my neck, and when I lift you up and your feet hit the floor, you say, 'Praise the Lord.'" Amen. I remember that. She got my mom up, and the doctor told her, you're not gonna be able to walk again. You're done, basically. That's what she said. And I remember my mom putting one foot in front of the other, and she learned how to walk again. That touched my heart. And I watched her through the years go through some things. And my mom would bounce back. We got in a terrible time. She was really having some physical problems. And I said, "Mama, what?" And my brother, my oldest brother, my dad, wanted to do some things. And, "Mama, what are we going to do?" She said, "Well, I just believe the Lord's going to help me." And that's all she said. And he did. Those things touched me. My mom's resiliency through the years really brought me to where I'm at today. It was because one resilient person. And how important it is to us today. We are a mixed group of people. And I can tell you, some have brought some pretty heavy baggage here to this place. There's a lot of baggage. There's baggage that you will never tell, and you are hiding. I know that. I hid some things myself. I appreciate the message last night so much. Brother Butch said, "I was 11 years old when my daddy died." Stop for a moment. Do you not think that didn't cost a young man something? You know what that cost him here? He didn't have a daddy to go through the teen years. He lost that. Do you know those messages that have heart in them and that have experience in them really blesses my soul when I see people that are resilient. They didn't let that stop them. Butch could have got bitter. He could have carried that thing for a long time. And I know that bitterness sometimes the Bible said it starts off small. It starts off maybe unnoticed, but there's a bitterness that can be in our lives because we've been hurt deeply. I had an 80-year-old man come to me one time, and I'm a young man. I'm in my 30s. Maybe my 40s. I'm not. It's been over 30 years ago, so I know it was a long time. And he said, my daddy put a pitchfork in my back. My daddy was a preacher in the Church of God. Those kind of things hurt a person clear till the day they die. My dad was not wanted when he was born. And he carried that rejection. He carried things till he died. It's real. When I'm up here this morning trying to talk to us about resilience, please don't think that I am trying to make you so tough that you cover up all of your internal feelings and that we just want you to be, everybody to appear tough and to be real cover-up people. That's not what I'm trying to tell you this morning. And being resilient does not mean that we hide things. Being vulnerable sometimes opens up things in our lives that other people hear. What Brother Butch said last night has a way to open up. You may have lost your father too. You may have lost your mom. You may have been through a divorce. You may be a single mom this morning and you're struggling to make ends meet. I'm not up here telling you, just be tough. Sister, just tough it out. Just tough it out. You can make it. Be big. Be strong. There's some hurts, folks. Sometimes we have to have real people to be able to express themselves, to be able to be vulnerable and say, look, this hurt me when I was a child. This hurt me so much, and I just hadn't got over it. You know what it's like to have a grown man come to you and tell you how hurt they are? A grown man to come to you and just spill out things that they've never, ever been able to talk about in their life. We need that. We need to be people that are good listeners. We need to be people that's known for a heart to hear. And there's sometimes it's difficult. It's hard because you get several things that, you know, you listen to. And I feel for the ministry sometimes because I know you've been to those places where there has been so many people confide in you and so many people lay their burdens on you and you don't have nobody to talk to. That's hard. I had a man come up to me, James, how are you doing? I said, I know enough right now to get myself fired. And he said, what? It's true. People come and they talk. They're hurting. They have things going on inside. There's something running constantly inside. And that internal motor that's running, that internal thing that's clicking and going, and everything on the outside looks calm. It's what I'm talking about this morning. There are some things that are running in the background. I'm not asking you to cover them up. I'm not saying the Lord wants you to cover up. It's not. It's admitting. It's confessing. It is acknowledging I have a need. It's tough growing up sometimes. I remember in high school, growing up, you know, you want to have clean, you want to be accepted, don't you? You want acceptance is a big thing. Acceptance. And when somebody comes by and they start laughing, you think, what's wrong? Well, I had a pimple on my nose. And that thing, I don't know where, it was like it came from below. It was so embarrassing. Big old thing, and my side of my eye was swelled up. That's kind of hard as a young person, you know. How are you doing? You're looking, I have this big old thing on my nose, and it's like, oh, what happened to him? He got hit in the nose with a BB gun. It's hard. You know, and you're trying to be accepted, and people are like, maybe you're overweight, maybe you're short, maybe you're tall, and you come to school, and your socks are showing. I mean, that might have been acceptable back in my time. But there's something you feel odd about. You don't fit in. You know, I didn't fit in with a lot of people at school. And I reluctantly went to my 50th class reunion last year. And I remember thinking, 50 years, they'll never remember who I am. And lo and behold, this girl named Joanne, whom I teased along with everybody else, I wasn't alone, but this girl, she had some problems and she was mean, hot-tempered, and I enjoyed teasing her. Guess who showed up at the 50-year reunion? And I was going there with a light heart. I thought, you know, I'll just say hi to everybody or whoever that knew me. And here she was. And the Lord began to speak to me. You got to go tell her something. Tell her you're sorry. I got up and went over there and I said, Joanne, do you remember me? She gets my shirt. She pulls me up, looks at my badge. I remember you. I know who you are. I said, Joanne, I'm sorry. I'm trying to live right. I want to clear up something, and I'd done my little spill and got cleared up with her. That's all right. Felt better, and I saw another girl that she won the spelling bee. She beat me. And I can't even spell resilient, but maybe that's why she beat. I said, Janelle, do you, you know, this is 50 years and I still remember that girl's name. Now she's an old woman. And maybe she wouldn't remember. She didn't even know what she'd done. I said, no, I remember the word. It was acknowledgement. And I remember how she pronounced that word. Her exact voice, and I could mimic that, and you all would hear her 50 years ago. I said, you know, I had a bad attitude, and I really wanted to clear that up. I'm sorry. She just laughed, said, all is forgiven. But, you know, little things that you can carry through life. I'm talking about being resilient. I haven't forgot the Word of God. I want to look in the book of Psalms, the 61st Psalm. I want to read to you something that has come. It's been a burden on my heart. I want to share something with you this morning. The psalmist said here, attend to my cry, O God. This is Psalm 61. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It's a wonderful thing, dear ones, when we know where to go for help. I want to tell you, having resilience in your life, part of it is knowing which way is home. There's so many people that don't know where home is. I think that's a reason I loved to raise pigeons, homing pigeons. I've had them over 600 miles away from home. I've taken them and trained them. They get to where they, as I raise them, they come out of the loft and you get proper food and water, and where they like their home, those birds will beat their wings off to get home. I would like to instill within our hearts this morning that desire to be home. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, Lord, help me not to lose my way home. And making it home. I tell you, these birds have been so amazing. They've come home. They've been lost. There's no telling how many miles they flew. The tips of their wings was just frayed and thin because they had flown so long. I've had them come home and their craw was ripped open from right below their throat. There had been a hawk that had come down and had slit their craw all the way. They would eat and food would spill out. I sewed them up with a needle and thread, and none of them ever died. And there was three or four of my boys would help me hold them. They had a desire to be home. Unless we know where we're going in this crazy, wicked world that we live in, unless we know and we feel like I can go home and everything will be all right. I remember going home as a boy. I loved going home because my mom was there. My mom would, you could smell a good meal she was cooking, and that was home. I could go in, my mom put her arm around me, how you doing? And that was home to me. We can't be resilient when we're wishy-washy, when we don't know where we're at, we don't know where we're standing, when we're going from this thing to that, we can't be resilient. We must have that knowledge of where home is. And I want to tell you, young people, I appreciate you so much. My wife told me something that touched my heart so much. She said, and I don't know who it was, so I'm not going to embarrass you, but there were two sisters, and the young one got her older sister and brought her down the altar. Would you pray with me? That means a lot to me. When families are that close together, can't say that it's always been that way in my home. But you know, that touches me. There's something there. There's a love. There's a bond. There's something that pulls people together. Pulls families together. Lord, help us this morning to have a place we can call home. And we know people love us. We can face all kinds of things. I'm not out here to tell you this morning, the thought is not to tell you, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I believe in that scripture. But I can see an outward toughness sometimes we want to get to. I mean, it's like, well, look at me. I've been able to go through all of these things. I've been able to endure. I've been able to go through all these things, and I trusted God. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But there's been some places that it's been difficult. Maybe I hadn't made an A on everything that I've done. Can you still be resilient? Can we still be like Paul? I believe in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, I'd like to look at this. I'd like to look at this verse of scripture here in Philippians. Sorry, I didn't write that down. Here it is. The fourth chapter in the 12th verse. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Do we know how to do that today? Or do we only want people to know the places we abound? We want them to know the things, my accomplishments, my best things that I've done in life, everything that I've succeeded in. I want you to know that. You know what? Pretty soon we're going to have a disposition of, I can't fail. I can't fail. I want you to know me that way, that you're looking at somebody that's never failed. It's not me. I'm not there. There's things that God brings in our mind, in our life. There's places He will let you even fall. One scripture that keeps coming to my mind this morning, He said, I want you to be like the palm tree. What's significant about a palm tree? You know what it is? That palm tree's exterior can be so rough. It can go through 150 mile an hour wind, and that old palm tree can lay over. There are segments in that tree, the makeup of the trunk of that tree, it's segmented. It's kind of like our back. It can bend and it can go clear down, but then when the wind dies, it'll pop back up. He said, I'm going to make you like a palm tree. That old exterior can be marked with years of hurts on the outside of it. There could have been people run into it. They could have chopped on it. They could have done a lot of things. But unlike our trees around here, these oak trees, the hickory trees, the other trees, its life is not on the outside. You ring these trees that we have here, these big nice red oaks and white oaks and all these nice trees, you ring them and you cut through that bark and you'll kill that tree. They will die. That exterior, you mess with that and you're going to kill the tree. You throw too much dirt on the outside and it's going to die. But you can take that old palm tree, and how many varieties of palms? There's, I don't know how many variety of palm trees there are. But it doesn't get its nutrients from the outside bark. There's something from within. The real life-giving part of that palm tree is on the inside. And it's got a long taproot, and it gets its nourishment from within. That's what we need to be resilient. We can't just have the external. As a body of Christ, you can't live just an external life. You have to have something within, and that makes us resilient. When we have the real goods within, that makes us be able to bounce back. And God wants to help us today, I'm convinced. Paul was saying here, I know how to be abased. I know how to suffer hunger. I'm acquainted with false brethren. I'm acquainted with those who are religious on the outside, but inside they're dry bones. I'm acquainted with all that. But he said in all of this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That is our resiliency. I'm not saying that we're just trying to toughen you all up to, you know, to be something that you're not. No. Be real in whatever you do. You know, we just like to hear about our victories. People capitalize on all the victories. Paul was saying here, there's some victory even being abased that I've been able to experience. There's some things that we can go through and nobody knows anything about. And we can be resilient. We can come back. Folks, we're living in a negative world. I teach a class at the academy there at the jail every month. And I tell these young cadets, because they come in with such anticipation. And I watch this one young guy. He's a pretty tough little guy. He come in. He got his tattoos. He went to martial arts. I'm telling you, he had it all.
He was ready to be a detention officer, ready to go back in them pods and face those men and all the wickedness and everything back there, ready to go, tattooed up, martial arts, had it all. He's ready to whip them. He lasted about a month because being resilient means you got to have something within. You go in there with the intention, I'm going to whip them, I'm going to take care of them, I'm going to handle them, ain't nothing. And then you find that the day-to-day grind, you find that that person that's always slow coming out of his cell, you find that person that's cussing you out, that person's always finding fault in you, he won't lock his door, he won't take his food, he lies to you, he tells you, hey, where's my food? I never got my food yet. Well, we went through this yesterday, don't you realize, you know? And the constant drain. Y'all feel that once in a while you're not in jail? But you feel that drain every day. The constant things that happen day in and day out. Housewives feel it. Young people feel that. Children going to school, you know, you got to deal with the bullies at school. You have to deal with negative people, negative, negative, negative all the time, everywhere you go. People that lie to you. I've had so many things that has happened to me, and people outright lie. It's like, I can't believe it. No, wait, wait. You're going to church? You're going to church on Sunday? And Monday night, you're having this affair with this person? And yeah. Real life. Real life. And you've got this testimony. You love God, and boy, I've been in some pits. I'm still in one. With real life things. Things that can overwhelm you. And that's why I said, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I get in those places and it's a low. And it's a low, but I'm dealing with it. I'm dealing with difficult situations. Leave me the rock that's higher than I. I need elevation. Churches should be, it should be a place when we come together, a place for elevation. I feel elevated. I feel challenged in my soul. The author of the song, when peace like a river tends my way and sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou'st taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Amen. We need that kind of resiliency. Henry Spafford, or not Henry, but anyway, Horatio, there was some resilience there. To get the little card and it said, everybody's gone. Saved alone, saved only. It could be overwhelming. And there's some overwhelming things in life. Overwhelming. If you don't mind, let's talk just a little bit about stress. We've come here today, and it's been I haven't been able to be here all week, but I've enjoyed the meetings that I've been. Last Sunday was heavenly to me. It was heavenly to me. From the Sunday school, a rain on Sunday. How many of y'all ever seen rain on a Sunday morning service at Monarch in cool weather, just almost cold? It happened. Now let's talk about stress just a little bit. Stress is something that's kind of invisible. Sometimes you don't always see it. You have stress. You have things going on. There's things, as I mentioned before, there's several motors that's running, several things going at the same time. You come to meeting, you sit down, and you're worried about this, and you're worried about that, and you got your mind over here. What am I going to do? It can be overwhelming. And your job, sometimes I've marveled at the stress people are under today. The people of God are under a lot of stress. I remember the other day we drove through Rolla, Missouri, and I told my wife, I don't like this place. She said, why do you not like it? I said, well, you know, the owner of Burger King built a new restaurant in Rolla, Missouri, brand new, over $1 million investment, $1.5 million. It was a lot of money. Built a new store, and I was involved in that store from the ground up, from digging the footings. I didn't do them personally, but I was there for everything that went on. The air conditioning, the refrigeration, the broilers, the fryers, the all the drink system, everything from the roof, from the floor to the ceiling, core drilling, setting all the dining, all the chairs, all the partitions, putting that whole thing in, I was there. And the startup, I was there. And something was wrong. Something was wrong. Every piece of equipment was belching. Every gas appliance was belching black smoke. Everything in the store, the broilers, the fryers, all the heating units up on the roof, it looked like the roof was 20 years old and it's brand new. My boss comes and said, you've got to find what the problem is. I scratched my head for 2 or 3 months. I looked for everything, check gas pressures, this. I wonder if they're giving us bad gas. I don't know what it is. And I went there one night, make a long story short, I spent the whole night cleaning out carbon and stuff that built up in these fryers and going on the roof, and it was cold. It was a tough time cleaning everything up, and I felt so defeated. My boss was ready to fire me. It's time, you know, you can't figure it out. You can't figure what's wrong. Okay, I didn't even know who to call. Everything is doing the same thing. I drove out of the parking lot early that morning, and I glanced over at the propane tank, and the guy was filling it. And he filled the propane tank up almost to the top. It was spilling liquid out of the tank into the main line going into the building, and that was fouling water heater, fryer, broiler, all the heating units. It was causing them to carbon up. I called the Empire Gas, used to be one of the big suppliers that took care of the a lot of Missouri. Maybe they're still there. I don't know. But anyway, I said, look, you know, I've asked you about helping us resolve a problem. Well, I just saw the problem this morning. Your guys are filling this tank to the top. It has to be full to 80% and give that last 20% expansion and be able to convert from a liquid to a vapor. It's not doing it. I called my boss. I said, I think I found the problem. But I can't tell you what it felt like to be a failure. Years I've been doing this. Years, and I've never had trouble like this. But here it was, and it was about to get me. I couldn't rest. There was just so many problems going on. How many of you are like that this morning? You've got some problems. You can't solve them. You can't get over them. You can quote this scripture, leave me the rock that's higher than I. You get up the top of the rock and there's nothing. You still can't make it. Being resilient. Remember the palm tree. Remember the palm tree. I'm going to make you like a palm tree. The righteous will be like a palm. It flourishes. It makes it in all kind of difficult situations. Lord, help us today to be resilient people. Paul said, I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. Being abased is really where you learn to grow. Being down in those low points in life and places your heart is crying out, and you're not getting anywhere. You're not going any place. Folks, there's a peace, the people of God. There's something about the people of God and the ways of God. If you'll stay to Him, He said, then shall we know if what? we follow on to know the Lord. Then shall we know. How many times have we given up and we think, you know, I've tried, and sometimes he tells us, just be still. Ah, oh, you think, wonderful. You want me to be still, Lord? I'm your helping hand. I'm the one, I can do these things. You know, even the Bible said I can do all things. He's just saying this time, you just sit down and be quiet. Just sit down and be still. Amen. Let me take care of it. Is that part of being resilient? It sure is. Be still and know that I am God. I'm very much acquainted with your ways. I'm very much acquainted with what you can do. And really, I don't need your help in this deal. Just to be blunt, I mean, that's the way the Lord, he might talk to you different, but sometimes he talks to me, let me take care of it. But Lord, I've got this edge. You're going to get in trouble, just sit still. It's so hard for us to do that. But I'm sanctified. But I'm saying, anything I do, I'm sanctified, and I'm going to be able to. I'm not counting on you to help me in this one. Your part is to sit still. There's strength, and the Bible said their strength was to sit still. But you still want to be resilient. Okay, just so the winds have blown you over and you think, Lord, look at me. What's people going to think of me when they see me laying flat? When they see me down and they see me at my worst, what are they going to think of me? You know what I found with the people of God? When you're laying flat, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You'll make it. Be an overcomer. You're going to make it. That's the way the people of God. Parents, listen, you've got such a responsibility in your family, teaching your children how to be resilient and teaching them how to go through things and teaching them to have a good spirit. I've watched things so many times in my life that, Lord, help me here to have the right spirit. You know, I've had some things come up at work recently, and they were going to take my office away. That's been the chaplain's office ever since the building was built. They put a little emblem outside the office, chaplain. I'm right next to the chapel. Chapel and chaplain go together. And I thought, Lord, look, and here's me. And then the scripture came to me, I know how to be abased. And then I looked at all the other chaplains. I counted them. And the reason when they left, the bad attitude they had. And all of them had reason to be a little upset. And then I thought, I'm going to be the first one that goes away, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to tell them, thank you, appreciate the time, I'm gone. I volunteered 18 years here, and I've been hired for 3 years. But when I'm done, I'm going to go away with a good attitude. Be that way. You be the first. You be the first in your family to set the stage for how you deal with being abased. Set the stage. None of my family, my family argues. My family has a temper. My family speaks up. Let me tell you something. They speak up. They don't go down without a fight. You're in the kingdom of God now. The Lord might have some tighter restrictions than what you've grown up with. Oh, that's just my nature. You don't know. I hear a whole bunch about nature. Not the birds and the trees and grass. It's your nature. I got told this week, you're prejudiced. You hate Muslims. You don't like us, and you're against us. I wrote back. I said, it's not true. That's how far from the truth that I hate Muslims. I don't know where do you pick that up at? I never said that. Just because you want this meal, you want a kosher meal, and I don't give it to you, does that mean I don't like you? I have learned how to be abased. I've got two lawsuits right now. Thank God the third one dropped out, but I got two more. My lawyers talked to me for 2 hours and they said, you know, we never had troubles till you come along. And nobody follows policy. They told me that 3 times. Nobody follows policy. And I came this close to saying to my two lawyers, look, you guys get arrested and get thrown in jail and ask me for a kosher meal and see how I treat you. I'm going to treat you just like I do to all the others. I'm not giving you no kosher meal. You don't deserve it. And I believe that. I believe in treating people the same. There's a lot of things in life. There's things I know. We come to a meeting like this, and some of you, you're not in regular congregations. You're not in congregations close, and you might not get to meet with a bunch of people like this. I truly hope, I desire that your needs in your soul will be met. I hope and pray that you can learn to be resilient, that you will see that's the way you've got to be. You know, being resilient, I think about some of our highs and I think of some of our lows. You want to see me on my highs. You want to see me when I'm up here and we're peeking out and things are going well. And the health is good. And, you know, we can sing the song, I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation. But there's been some low times. There's been some of the, when you're looking on the bottom of a wave that's towering above you, that's pretty difficult. The book of Matthew, let me read here to you the 11th chapter, the 28th verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The grace of God works in our lowest low. And I believe the Spirit of God, when we talk about I've been sanctified. You know what he does? In my life, I've experienced those lows. Begins to look more like this. With sanctification, he takes those deep bumps and he works on those deep bumps. Those places you get down low and you don't want to say nothing, you want to be quiet, you want to become reclusive, you want to just do nothing, you want to get away from people, you don't want to see nobody, you don't have a test, you come in church and don't say anything and people wonder if they're still saved. Why aren't they saying anything? The Lord takes those lows. Instead of being so different and so many degrees off, and he begins to make it more of a bump. He works on it. It's not, Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. But I believe he kept the line. I believe he was consistent. Let me tell you, resiliency will help you to be consistent. I sure didn't feel like going to church tonight, but I came anyway. I didn't have anything to say, but I came anyway. I didn't have a prayer to pray, but I prayed anyway. And I showed the Lord, I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna go with you. I mean to go right on until the battle's won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I believe we need to have that in our life, being resilient. I mean to go right on. Amen. You might catch me. I might be weighted down with some things. I might have a lot of stuff on me, but I mean to go right on. I might not be going 65 miles an hour, and you may see me in the slow lane, but I'm still pressing on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I press toward that mark. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, reaching forth to those things which are before, forgetting those things that are past, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward that mark. No, I don't have no perfect score. I don't claim to be no Superman. I'm not. I'm very weak, and there's things that's difficult for me to do. It's difficult. But I'm pressing on. The little song we sing, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining day by day. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lead me on to higher ground. I hope and pray every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, you come here with a lot of baggage, and don't carry that too long. Look at the scripture, Jesus himself. You come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, things that are taking you down, things that really you struggle with mentally. You struggle with those things, and things pop up, and they're real. They are real. They happen to us all. Keep going. Keep trying. I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do, you know, I don't have yesterday. I can't pull up yesterday. Lord, I would love to make that. If you'd give me another chance, I wouldn't have said that to those people. I wouldn't have done that. I would have behaved different. It's gone. We've got to get over it. You can't pull up things from yesterday. You can't redo your life. Oh, I made this failure. I did some things here I'm ashamed of. You can't pull that back. It's gone. But how many of us here this morning live in the past? We live in the past. We live in things that happened yesterday or a year ago or 20 years ago. We live in those things. It's failures. I've got things I wish I'd never, never done. But I bought some stuff. I tried to invest in something I thought would be good, and it was a disaster. Oh, I wish I could pull that back. And the Lord comes by and says, I forgive you. Lord, would you forgive me? I forgive you. And then a year later, we think about that. Oh, man, why did I do that? Lord, forgive me. already forgiven. Please stop doing that. Please stop. You don't have to keep asking me over and over and over and over. Your yesterdays are gone. Tomorrow, I can worry about tomorrow. Lord, what am I going to do? I had a situation one time that was bothering me so much. I was up at 2:30 in the morning. I was in my garage. It was kind of cold, but I was out there in my garage piddling around. And I looked down the lane and hear this car come up. Boy, I mean, my senses start to get alerted. Who's going to come my house at 2:30 in the morning? I walked out to meet him. And it was a minister. What are you doing? He said, what are you doing in my place at 2 in the morning? He said, what are you doing up? He talked with me a little while. The Lord sent him by. The Lord will have somebody come by your way to help you. The Lord will help you. He doesn't want you to carry all of those things around in your life and be dwarfed. He doesn't want you to be... I want to be known as Superwoman. I want to be known as Superman. I want to have all these victories. Who's keeping score on you anyway? Who's keeping score on this whole thing? God is. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy things.
you can get in a rut living off your worries for tomorrow. And your resiliency, it won't be too good. You know, actually, the rest of this, I've been in a class, I got to tell you, a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't finish this thought, but if I put these other people's logo on this, it's going to, I didn't want to copy that, but their motto is resilient minds on the front lines, and it's for police officers. But my mind goes back to the people that I love and work with. And I think, what are we going through? What's happening in our life? What's going on in our life? You know, I have worked with a lot of police officers. I think of one time, it was a very bad thing that happened in our town. Very heinous crime. And these two seasoned officers, one 30 years with the department, came to me and he said, "I've never seen anything like it. Pray for me." Another younger guy came by and the first one had over 25 years and seen a lot. The second one came and said, "I got to see somebody. I've never seen anything like this." You know, there is so much going on in the world. There is so much going on. One time, an officer I knew well, he came to me and he'd had so many shootings, so many things. Four or five times he'd go up to the door, knock on the door, and people would shoot at him where he shot back. He'd call home and said, tell his wife, "You never guess what happened." She said, "I know, well, it don't matter. Just get some milk on your way home." And they got used to it. Four or five times doing over and over again. She's worried about his life. It wasn't that message she was trying to put across, but they got used to it. And he escaped every time. The last time before he left, he got into a deal and the guy's trying to run over him. He shoots in the car and a 17-year-old pregnant girl in the back seat was killed. And he called me and said, "James, would you call my wife and talk to her? She's having a hard time with this one." There's things that really bother people. We only see a fraction of what really goes on, but behind the shadows and places where the average person will never see, there's a lot going on. And there's the increase in suicides, it's unbelievable. That's going on now. And I feel for people that don't know how to cast their cares. They don't know the scripture. He said, "Come unto me." They don't know how to come. They bottle things up. They can't take it. They end their life. And it's such a tragedy. And there's so much going on. So many things happening in our communities. I wish I could give you the name of this photographer. He was out to win the Pulitzer Prize. And he was in a war-torn country, and there was a little girl that was walking across the sand, and she had fallen. Barely get to her feet. He's only wanting a picture. That's all he wants. And here's this little girl, maybe 3 years old, and she walks and stumbles, and she's in a fetal position, and right a few feet behind her was a vulture. And he snapped it and won the Pulitzer Prize. Never, ever reached out to help that little girl. Never touched her. 4 months later, after winning the Pulitzer Prize, he kills himself. Our world
Being resilient is so important to us today. What motive do we have for existing? What motivates us in this life? If it is not to help people, if our heart is not to be a servant's heart, we lose hope. God wants to help us to be resilient. Had that man put his camera down and went over there and gave that little girl, there was the thought, there was the talk going all around, you know, don't touch the people. They've got, they're carrying disease and all of that. He didn't touch her. And I don't know, but what that vulture didn't pick on her and eat her. I don't know. But I know one thing, it cost that man something. And being resilient, you might say, I don't want no more trouble. I don't want any more trauma in my life. I want everything to be smooth and calm. I want to be able to sing that song, peace, 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 glorious peace. I want to be able to just have peace in my life. And the further I get away from people, it seems like the better I feel. But don't believe that. Because sometimes your resiliency is getting your hands dirty. It's learning how to help others that are worse than you are. That's where we learn some real lessons from God. I know we're out of time. I'm telling you, there's something in this today. And if God can help us to know where home is, and if we can help other people to find home, we're going to be rewarded for that. You know, the other day, the thought about expanding our building here, it came to my mind, and that's great. I'm definitely not against it. But do you know, there are places to go in life and to build the kingdom up that nobody is ever going to see those folks. Nobody is ever going to know what you did. And sometimes you feel alone. Be resilient. Lord, this is for you. This is the reason I'm doing that, is for you. It may not something, you know, we all like to see returns on our investment. But there's sometimes you may not see them. You still be resilient. You still do what you can do for God. Even if you're not seen, even if you're not noticed, the things you're doing, and you get in those places and you see some real successes, and it's like, Lord, I wish people could taste this. I wish they could see what I'm going through. I wish they could experience this. And there's not one encouraging, not one or two saints around to see that little vision you've had. And then you sometimes feel some people, well, it's like asking me where I caught fish. Caught them in the mouth. Well, no. I want to know what lure. Well, you know, you can buy it at Bass Pro. You know, I don't like those kind of answers. And sometimes when people ask about, well, the work of God, it's almost like, where'd you catch them at? Well, they was just wandering around. I picked them up over here and there. You know, the good thing is that God knows. He knows. He understands. And folks, being resilient this morning to me, it means everything. You're going to go on if you get patted on the back or not. Whether you get people around you that approves of what you're doing or not. God knows. He knows. And he has told us today, you come unto me all that labor and I will give you rest. I'll give you something that you can say this is worth dying for. May the Lord bless us this morning. Your parents, keep doing the good job you're doing. bring them up in the fear of God. There's rewards to that. God's going to bless you for that. Young people, you're struggling out there with nobody to encourage you at school sometimes and nobody around that really you can be good friends. Just keep doing good. It'll pay off one day. It will. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for your time this morning.